Good morning. We've had ourselves some church already. That was subtle. I don't like to be far, you know, and my kids are afraid if I go back too far, you know what happens with old people. Good morning. Y'all made brave the winter storm of the decade that hasn't started, I guess, yet. So, thank you, choir. That was amazing. And Paul and the band. We can close in prayer. But we're not going to. So we're in our series entitled, Don't Talk About Money. A series where we talk about money. We have explored the story of Zacchaeus and the rich young ruler to arrive at really the foundational principle of this entire series. And that is this. There is a powerful relation between our true spiritual condition and our attitude and actions about money and possessions. They're related. You can't talk about the spiritual life. You can't talk about money without understanding that they're related to each other. Where your treasure is, there's your heart also. Then we explored how our financial fitness is really related to the lifestyle choices we make. And we looked at, should I live like a disciple? You know, throw it all away and just follow. Should we live like a disciple, as a follower of the Savior? And what does that mean? And we have some choices we can make, but we did say the New Testament is very clear. We must live a life of hospitality. And if you're going to live a life of hospitality, it means what? You have to have a place in which to be hospitable. Okay? You have to have food. You have to have clothes. You got to have shelter and furniture. And then we read Luke 14:33, which says, in the same way, any of you who does not give up everything, he cannot be my disciples. And we concluded that giving up everything really must mean give over everything. Okay? We give everything over to the King, and with it, we do kingdom business. For some people, that is going to mean getting rid of some possessions. For some, it's going to mean opening your bedroom or your spare room for guests. For some, it might mean, well, let's build a guest house so we can do this even better. Whatever. But for all of us, it means dedicating everything that we keep to be used for the kingdom. And so this morning, part three, we're going to tackle the issue of don't talk about my debt. The sermon where we talk about your debt. Of course. We live in a culture of instant gratification. Buy now, pay later. And of course, that causes a lot of problems in our culture, but in our families as well, and in our individual lives. Consumer debt in America in May of 2011 stood at $2.43 trillion. We don't even can't comprehend trillion. That's, you know, 1,000 billion, right? Something like that. Yeah, thank you. Today, consumer debt is at 17.3 trillion dollars. That's not what the government owes. That's what you and I owe. The average credit card debt per household that has a credit card is just under $8,000. A man jumped off a 20-story building, and people watching were horrified, but he seemed perfectly calm. He passed the fifth floor apartment. He looks in and says, hey, everything's great. Don't worry about me. Everything is great till you meet the ground. It's not a true story. But it reminds me of the attitude a lot of people have about debt in the early stages. Hey, it's okay. Everything's great. But what happens to most debtors later is exactly what happens to that man. He meets the ground, and when he does, it's a mess. The IRS calculates that the average filer spends 10 times more paying off interest on debts than he does to give to a charitable cause. Can you imagine if the evangelical church, if Christians were out of debt, the hundreds of millions of dollars that would be freed up for the kingdom of God? Do you think of how our families would do without the financial pressures caused by this indebtedness? And we rail against politicians for the enormous debt of the United States, which is, stands today at $34.14 trillion. So today, however, we're going to do something very biblical. We're going to take the speck out of our own eye. No, the log out of our own eye. Oh, you're listening. It's not too hot in here yet, so you're not asleep. We're going to take the log out of our own eye and so that we can see clearly. Because home mortgages and auto loans and credit cards, they all seem very normal to us. But debt is really an aberration in the pages of the Scripture. So let's take a closer look at debt this morning. Are you already uncomfortable? Well, you maybe should be. Okay, the nature of debt. What is it? Let's start at the beginning. Credit is a grant to pay later for something you receive now. We're very familiar with it. And the interest is the fee that the creditor receives, and we as the debtor have to pay in order for that privilege. Because when you get into debt, you're getting money that you haven't earned. And 100 years ago, that was really only for the rich and the very privileged few. Today, debt is for all. We can all go into debt. Yippee! Now that we don't have children, adult children living at home, you know, we used to get 3 or 4 maybe a day applications for credit cards, right? And their prime target doesn't live there anymore. So they've gone. But you go to a university campus. Ken used to tell us at staff meeting. You go to Biola on the first week of campus of school in a semester, and what do you get? All the banks are lined up so they can train these students. Get them into a little debt. It's okay. It doesn't matter. And our self-centered, debt-centered economy is like an electronic bug zapper. It's so attractive. The insects fly. It's so, oh, that light. Let's go to the light. Zap. Oh, there's a brand new entertainment system. I really need the surround sound with 15 speakers. It's on sale. I don't have any cash. Here's my card. Zap. Oh, 100-inch TV. I don't even know if they make it. 100-inch TV. I need that. Here's my Visa. Zap. So what does the Bible say about debt? What's a biblical position? Well, the Bible's full of warnings against debt. The fullest expression is probably in Proverbs chapter 6, verse 1. Proverbs, the Solomon writes, "My son, if you have put up security for your neighbor, if you have shaken hands in pledge for a stranger, you have been trapped by what you said, ensnared by the words of your mouth. So do this, my son, to free yourself. Since you have fallen into your neighbor's hands, since you've become indebted to him, go to the point of exhaustion and give your neighbor no rest. Allow no sleep to your eyes, no slumber to your eyelids. Free yourself like a gazelle from the hand of the hunter, like a bird from the snare of the fowler." Debt's a bondage, he says. You got to get out of it. Proverbs 22:7, "The rich rule over the poor, and the borrower is servant to the lender." Romans 13, bring it into the New Testament. Romans 13:8, "Owe nothing to anyone." That sort of, it appears to prohibit all debt. In the NIV, it says, "No, let no debt remain outstanding." So it seems to allow some debt under conditions, as long as you can pay it off as quickly as possible. Some have taken Romans 13:8 and said it prohibits all debt. That's Hudson Taylor believed that. Charles Spurgeon. However, think it through. If going into debt is always sin, then it's difficult to understand why the Bible gives guidelines about how to lend. Is the Bible giving you guidelines about how to sin? And encourages lending under certain circumstances. So if debt is always sin, then lending and aiding and giving people money as in an official way is abetting sin, and God wouldn't encourage that. being in a position to loan money, the Bible says, is a blessing, while being a borrower is a curse. Deuteronomy 28, verse 44, he will lend to you, but you will not lend to him. He will be the head, but you will be the tail. All these curses will come upon you. They will pursue you and overtake you until you are destroyed, because you did not obey the Lord your God and observe the commands and decrees he gave you. You know, unless there's an overwhelming need to borrow, we shouldn't do it. It's unwise for the children of God to put themselves under the curse of indebtedness. So at the very least, Romans 13:8 says we shouldn't borrow money as a normal course of action, and we should pay it off as quickly as possible. When I was a kid, the original Lost in Space came out. I couldn't wait every week for Lost in Space. I loved that show. And on it is this iconic character, a robot, you know, who goes around, danger, Will Robinson, danger. Today, I am the dorky robot. Danger. There is danger. And there's signs that you can be in danger, like a warning. And so this morning, I'm going to look at four danger signs that mean, you know, we might need to take some drastic action in our finances. Either we're headed into the debt trap, or we're already there. So danger, Will Robinson. What are the signs of the debt trap? How can you begin to tell, you know, things are not going the way they should, and we need to do something about this? Four of them. Number one, I am living on credit instead of paying cash. Okay, remember that from a lifestyle discussion here. You can depend on credit. If you're depending on credit to maintain your lifestyle, you are spending too much money. Proverbs 3:27, don't withhold repayment of your debts. Don't say, oh, some other time, if you could pay it now. In other words, if you have the cash, you really ought to pay it off, and you ought to pay now. Don't put off to the future. Don't put it on some future credit account. I have done that. You know, we used to get those deals, you know, zero interest, and you can transfer. Hey, I've done lots of transferring in my time. But if your balance is going up every month, that's a warning sign. If you're on your credit cards, that balance just goes up and up and up, some red flags ought to be going on in our brain. Because there's a couple of problems if we're living only on credit. Number one, it shows a lack of contentment in my life. I can't wait. I got to have it, and I got to have it now. And I can't save. I got to live. You know, I'm just not content with what I have. Stuff's going to make me happy. You better learn that quick, that it doesn't. And number two, it's a presumption on the future. Well, I can always pay it off tomorrow. Oh, you're guaranteed your health and your job for the next 2 or 3 years, the next 2 or 3 weeks? You might get disabled. You might have a car accident. Every time you buy something on unsecured credit with a credit card or a revolving account, you're buying something that you're presuming in the future you will be able to pay back. Proverbs 27:1, boast not of tomorrow, for you don't know what tomorrow will bring. Debt, it always presumes upon the future. Studies have shown that if you use a credit card, you'll spend 23% more in a store than if you just used cash. I can't remember the last time I had cash in a store. I understand the economy is changing these days. But it makes it a lot easier just to throw my card down. I don't really think about it. It's not real money. It's just plastic. So it's easy. Let's admit up front, also, it is kind of fun to spend money. There's some, it feels good. It's exhilarating. It's like a drug. But realize you're headed to a debt trap. Warning number two. Number one was, I'm living on credit instead of paying cash. Number two, I am delaying payments or making the minimum due. If you see, well, they're only asking me for $45 this month, and you pay the $45. Oh, my goodness. If you're missing payments or just making, you know, the bare minimum and or you're late, it's a warning sign. Danger. You find yourself constantly under the tension of money in your life. If you find yourself bouncing checks or insufficient funds, if you find yourself withdrawing money so your reserve account is in order, you know, to pay today's bills, those all things should be bells and whistles going off in our mind. Look out. You're living in danger. I'm spending too much. I'm spending more than I make. And at the very least, Romans 13:8, let no debt remain outstanding. If you're letting it remain outstanding, that's a problem. You can't just keep bouncing it down the road. Warning sign number three, I'm unable to give or I'm unable to save. You're saving anything? You're able to give anything to charity? If you're not saving any money, if you're not giving generously, you're spending too much. God takes our generosity very seriously. Malachi 3:8. Will a man rob God? Yet you rob me. But you ask, how do we rob you? In tithes and offerings. You're not giving me what I asked for. And if I'm not giving generously, I'm robbing God. If I'm using God's money to pay my bills, God takes that seriously. Proverbs 21:20, in the house of the wise are stores of choice food and oil, but a foolish man devours all he has. In the Living Bible, it says, the wise man saves for the future, but the foolish man spends whatever he gets. If you're not saving, if you're not giving, you're spending too much. You got to change your lifestyle. Warning sign number four, I am extravagant in my spending. Proverbs 21:17. Indulging in luxuries, wine, and food will never make you wealthy. If you want to get wealthy, you don't indulge in the wine and the luxuries and the expensive restaurants. Today we have an entire luxury market. It targets PV with catalogs, right? Fortunately, the catalog season has wound down a bit. But you know, September, October, it's peak in November. Oh my gosh. They're going to give you every reason to spend your money as much as you can. So what do you do when you've got everything? I mean, sometimes you find stuff to buy for Christmas. You make stuff up and they help you with their lovely catalogs. And when you buy things just because you have the money, it's stupid. When you can buy things just because you can afford them, watch out. That debt trap is waiting for you too. Because when you buy things you don't need with money you don't really have, or even if you do have it, the Bible says that's not how you get wealthy. You don't waste it on superfluous things. Maybe this morning your financial situation seems impossible for you from a human standpoint. You're stuck in the trap of debt, or you realize, I'm headed that direction. This morning I say there's a way out. You don't have to enter that trap. You don't have to stay in that trap. God has some financial principles, some plans that get us out of debt. And a lot of people here who could tell you some specific examples. And if I didn't believe there was some hope for getting out of debt, I wouldn't waste your time this morning by looking in the scriptures. But they're there and they work. There's hope. So how do you escape from the trap of debt? How do you get out of it? There's a lot of steps. I don't know how many there are. I should know that. How about six of them? Five? I have six. So you get a bonus step. Now you have six? I didn't number them there because the numbers and outlines, well, you know. All right, we're going to do number one. Commit to becoming debt-free now. Not tomorrow, not next week, not next month. Commit to being debt-free now. It always begins with a commitment. Psalm 37:21. The wicked borrow and do not repay. God says, if I don't pay my debts, it's wicked. It's not just wrong. It's not just socially unacceptable. It's wicked. Because God says, when you make a promise, keep your word. When you make a financial vow, a financial promise, when you indebt yourself, you're expected to keep that. And God takes it very seriously. The wicked borrow and don't repay. And I know what you're thinking. I don't know, but perhaps you are thinking, but I'm in so much debt, I will just file for bankruptcy and start all over. It's legal. Bankruptcy is legal in America, but that doesn't make it moral. Just because something is legal doesn't make it ethical. I think it's wrong. I think it's wrong to stiff other people for the bad decisions you've made. It's wrong to make other people pay for your excesses. It's legal, but it should be avoided. And it's not going to be easy. The steps we talk about today, they're not easy. It's easier to get into debt than it is to get out of debt. It's going to take a commitment to get out of debt. It's going to take courage to get out of debt. It's going to take discipline. It's going to take learning some delayed gratification. But most of all, to get out of debt, it is going to take character. Any fool can go into debt. It takes character to get out of debt. So how much character are you going to show? Are you just going to walk away from it and say, I'm not responsible? Or are you going to show some character and say, okay, God, I have gotten myself into this. Help me get out of it. It's not easy, but it can be done. You didn't just drift into it. You made some choices. And you're not going to wake up one day and all the debt's just going to be wiped out. The only way you're going to get out of debt is if you plan to get out of debt. You have to take the strong, difficult steps which take character and commitment. And it begins with commitment. Now, I'm going to throw in a bonus question that's not in your notes. The bonus question is this. What about borrowing to buy a house? Because you're thinking, oh, if I can't go into debt, I can't own a home. Well, unless you're, ultra, that's true, especially up here. Now, many financial counselors will put home mortgages into a different category than other debts, all right? One reason is because the loan is secured with equity. You've got this house that you can sell. And if something drastic happens in your life, you can sell the house and pay off the loan and pay off with the equity. Now, that's not always true. Was it 2008? Houses went south. It was difficult. So the danger is that you can buy a house that's really outside of your range. Some folks, I am not a financial planner, some say in the material I looked at that you shouldn't buy a house that's over 2.5 times your annual gross income, which is, it seems inexpensive. I mean, my house is a lot more than that. Let me just say that. But what you have to understand is you got to look at the payments. And are you willing? What you're paying for rent, if you can buy a house, then you should do it. So I would conclude you have to be careful to not get in over your head. All debt isn't the same. Farmers, accident victims, the unemployed, spouses who are abandoned, they find themselves in situations where, after prayer and evaluation, debt seems like the only alternative. In that case, we trust God, and we work to get out of debt as fast as we can. See, trust is believing that God will take care of my basic needs. And when we go into debt, sometimes we do it not to meet our needs, but our wants. We all need shelter, but do we need that shelter in that neighborhood? And we redefine our wants as needs. So it seems the goal in a home mortgage is to get it paid off as soon as you can. Why? Well, because think of the money you'd have left over to invest in the kingdom and doing good around the world. All right, back to how to escape the debt trap. We've committed to becoming debt-free. Number two, start paying God and myself first, which is a rather odd step number two. Right off the bat, I get the paycheck, and the first thing, the first part goes to God, and the second part goes to me, into savings. We're going to explore how much and all of that next Sunday, because I know you can't wait to find out. But it's difficult to understand how people can work so hard, and they get all that money, and they forget to pay themselves, to save, and to invest it in the kingdom of God. The two entities most responsible for your income are yourself and God, and you forget about them. Where did your ability to make wealth come from? It came from God, and it came from you. And when we're trying to get out of debt, people says, well, I can't afford to save. I can't afford to give. If you want to be wise, though, you need to live God's way. And the Bible says the purpose of giving is to teach us to put God's first in my life. And the Bible also says that the wise man saves for the future. So when you get the check before anyone gets paid, you pay God, you pay yourself. I am convinced, I have no scriptural basis for this, but in my observations, if you do not give when you are in debt, you will not give when you're out of debt. It takes discipline to say, I'm not going to buy today. I'm reducing my expenditures so that I can give, so that I can save. Step number three, have a sale. Sell some stuff. If you're stuck in the trap of debt, there's some things that in your home maybe you need to get rid of. But they're already paid for, you say. True. I hope. But if you sell it, you're going to have some equity. You're going to get some cash. You could use that to lower the payments and lower the debt that you already have. You've got to decide what's more important, that gizmo, that whatever, or living in the tension of financial debt. And if you can lower the tension, you'll be a lot happier than holding on to those things. Some of us buy cars for the wrong reason. You picked out the car. Why? So people could see you in it. It's a great car. I know I'm going to offend somebody. Cars are for transportation. Not status. Maybe you need to go sell the car and get something reasonable, something secondhand. It'll get you to the same place at the same time. Oh, I could never sell that. Ezekiel 20, verse 7, and I said to them, each of you get rid of the vile images you have set your eyes on, and do not defile yourself with the idols of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. Is that car an idol? Is that house an idol? Is that vacation home an idol, or that boat, or whatever? Sometimes to get out of debt, you need to sell some stuff. Number four, set up a repayment plan. Set up a repayment plan. You will not get out of debt accidentally. You're going to have to be intentional. You're going to have to come up with a plan. Proverbs 21:5, good planning and hard work lead to prosperity. You want to be prosperous, you get a plan. To do it right, you probably ought to get some financial counselor to help you. Because you're in the trouble, you know, maybe I don't know how to plan right. Maybe this is a signal. Proverbs 28:18, get advice if you want your plans to work. You got cancer? You don't just, you know, whatever. You go to a doctor who knows what they're talking about. And it helps you get over the illness. If you're deeply in debt, you need a financial person, an expert. Not a salesman who's going to sell you all this product while you're meeting with them, you know? Kind of a, I'm talking about somebody who, from an objective viewpoint, can sit down with you, can look at your finances, and could help you to come up with a plan. You shouldn't make a major financial purchase without getting some good personal financial advice. Why? Because when you, whether you think about it or about it, that big person, that big purchase, when you're thinking about it, what comes into place? How do you buy houses? On emotion. Realtors know that. When your emotions get involved, you don't think straight. You need a clear voice outside of reason and says, you know, you shouldn't buy that, but I love it. Well, you can't afford it. Well, maybe we can stretch a little bit. You can't afford it. I don't want anybody, you know, saying you can't afford that, sell it, so we don't get financial advice, because I want to do what I want to do. You need somebody to say no in your life. Let them help you set up a plan to repay it. To get out of debt, you're going to have to do three things. You've got to stop overspending. It's a hard habit to break. You've got to repay the principal and the interest. That interest clock is ticking. Credit cards are horribly expensive in interest. And number three, you have to learn to live within financial margin. You spend less than you make every month. There's a novel thought. It's difficult, but it's possible. Number five, add no new debt. No new debt. Don't keep this problem going. Hebrews 13:5, keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have. Because God has said, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. Most of us get into debt for one simple reason. We spend more than we make. We've got to stop it. Not tomorrow, today, right now. Because you will never get out of debt if you keep putting things on the credit card while you're trying to pay them off. It's not going to happen. You have to be ruthless. If you got into debt by using your credit card, you have a homework assignment this week. Go home, take all of those credit cards, put them on a cookie sheet, turn the oven on to 450, and stick them in the oven. They'll melt. Make sure you put some of that, you know, paper down. You'll have to buy a new cookie sheet. Or cut them up. Send them back to the company. Say, please, never send me any of these applications ever again. Jesus said, if your right hand offends you, cut it off. Is he saying, you know, mutilate yourself? I don't think so. I think he's saying be ruthless. Deal seriously with the things that mess up your life. You can go home and say, Pastor Jim, today he has encouraged plastic surgery. Because I am. Go home, do some plastic surgery. If you got into debt with a credit card, destroy the thing and never use it again. Credit cards are not bad as long as you do three things with them. Pay it off every month. Don't use them to buy things that aren't in your budget. And number three, you and your spouse vow that if you ever go over a month without paying it off, you destroy it and don't use it. Put it in the safe for a while, I don't know. Because that way you won't have a problem with credit cards. But some of you, you probably need to just do this cold turkey and get rid of the things. And number six, I don't know if you have six, but I have six. Stick with it. Stick with the plan. Galatians 6:9, let us not get tired of doing what is right. For after a while, we will reap a harvest of blessing if we don't get discouraged and give up. Getting out of debt takes discipline and effort and sacrifice and time. And these principles will work if you work them. With character, you can do this. You can get out of debt. But it begins with a commitment this morning. And if you need help, we've got financial wizards in this place. Just to ask me. Some people you'd least expect it, I'll hook you up with them. They're wonderful. They'll help you. Some, they budget carefully. But let me say one more thing. There is a debt that you will never be able to repay. And that is the debt of your sin. Because the Bible says we have all broken the law of God. We have all put too much on that credit card. We have blown it, and the debt will be due. And the penalty, the debt that we're going to need to pay is our death, which we won't be able to repay because it's eternal. So God assumed our debt when Jesus Christ came to earth. He stretched out his arms on the cross and he paid for that debt that we would never be able to pay on our own. So we get to go free. We get to go scot-free. What a deal. What a God. We owed a debt because we broke God's laws. We overspent. And that debt listed all the rules that we failed to follow. But God forgave us. And he took that debt, he took that bill, and he put it on the cross. You mean I don't have to pay any of that? That's exactly what that means. I get to go free? That's exactly what that means. Yes, you need to get your financial plan in order. But before you do that, you really do need to resolve the spiritual debt issue in your life. If you have never accepted Jesus Christ, if you have never seen the forgiveness of God and said, I believe that he can do that for me, you need to do that today before you leave. Will you set that spiritual debt and get it covered and paid for? Because that's the most important thing this morning. Let's pray. You could pray something like this. Jesus, I accept your free gift of forgiveness that you've paid for my sins. It is too good to be true that you would love me that much and die on the cross for me to wipe out a debt I had no hope of repaying. And maybe you just need to talk to God about your finances today. Because, Father, I know people are discouraged about that. I mean, we know the truth. With God, all things are possible. But today, we give you the financial mess of our lives. And we want to do things your way moving forward. Follow your plan. So, Father, let us be willing to do what your word says, whatever any godly counsel tells me to do. That I need your help. And we want to be honest in the body of Christ and find that help here. Father, we love you. And we worship you today. Draw us near in the name of Christ our Savior. Amen.